WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It all came to an end last night. It was the final time for the never seen 17. And apparently we just got to fire them all. At least that's what the fans want. Get rid of them all. Hunter, McCann, get rid of them all, the writing team. Because the finish, people were very, very opinionated. We'll talk about it. This is WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Hit the purple button below the screen to subscribe for free to support the channel. You can also use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy Kim Kardashian. Yeah. Reasons. Hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
You know, it takes a really big thing. What? Wow, I was getting an echo there for a second. You know, it takes a really big thing for fans to start to chant to get someone back in light of everything that has happened. And those fans need to take a step and realize what they're asking for.
Fire them all. Get rid of them all. They don't know what they're doing. They fumble the bag. Worst creative ever.
But you know, it's all okay because apparently he's going to go somewhere else and get the true retirement that he's deserved.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that's what's going to happen.
Totally, for sure. That's what Tim suggested last week. Anyway, we also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Last week I was being facetious. If you don't know what it means, look it up. Google's your friend. I'll tell you something, Rock. I'll tell you something, Brent. I'm done with WWE. They bucked up. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't get it. They just don't get it. I've been on the internet all day complaining. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking about canceling my ESPN Plus subscription, brother.
I mean, you can do that. That was on Peacock, though, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oops. Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Rob Red here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live on twitch.tv/WTR Live. We got a chat room. Come say hello. I'll say hi. And you can say hello to the lovely Lindsay Ward, who's there. And LaMans is in the chat room. I'm pretty sure that Team Chat's lurking somewhere and will make his presence known. So join us there as we review how dumb wrestling fans are anymore. I mean, Saturday night's main event. I'm in trouble now, aren't I?
No.
Oh, okay. So was I wrong?
What was your take on the finish? Well, good. We'll start there. What was your take?
My take on the on John Cena tapping out?
Yes.
I fully 100% expected John to do the job because it's his last match. He's always been the company guy.
That wasn't the question. Wasn't the question.
I'm not done. I'm leading up to it. The finish of the match, right? Okay.
The tap.
So I had no problems with any of that. I expected it was going to happen. I didn't love that he gave that little smile and sissy tap.
Okay.
He didn't need to tap out. They didn't need to submit him. He could have done the honors a different way. But if he was going to go out with a tap, they could have made it a little bit. He could have made it a little bit more intense emotionally. You know what I mean? Instead of like, because there is and. Let's not kid ourselves. He's not in any real trouble in that that sleeper hold. And yeah, it's scripted and everything. It took me out of the moment when I saw him relax, give the smile and the very light little tap. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So basically that's my take on it. And then looking at Triple H giving him that hug at the end. With everybody in that arena booing him, the look on Triple H's face made me laugh because I you know like I could almost hear his thoughts. Ha! I got him. We got him. We got them.
I made this comment last night when we reviewed it, and I posted it on Twitter. 20 years ago, when Cena was on the first on top, Triple H was the biggest heel in the room. Still is to this day. 20 years later. Biggest heel in the room. Because they were not happy.
Which is, in my opinion, yeah, you know, it's not every single WWE fan out there. And I'm not going to say wrestling fan because the fans of wrestling out there insist on dividing themselves between AEW fanboys and girls and WWE fanboys and girls. And there's pluses and minuses with both main organizations. I'm not going to deal with the lesser lights like TNA and Ring of Honor and stuff. Wrestling is wrestling. It doesn't matter. If you're a fan, go watch it. I mean, if you really want to be a wrestling fan, support your local indies. Speaking of somebody, you know, who ran indie, support your local indies. But as far as that goes, it's unfortunate that the majority of the people that I am pointing the finger at tonight were in the arena last night.
No, that's not true.
I understand the sentiment. I understand the sentiment and everything. But having them chant, "You fucked up," and then booing their heads off was just absolutely, you know, the smarter wrestling fans get, the dumber they become.
I don't have a problem with them chanting for their disgust at the people in charge. It was funny. It was amusing that they did. But I felt the same way they did.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah, John Cena should have won his last match and gone out a winner and blah, blah, blah,
yes,
and everything.
Because
I understand that sentiment. But there are so, you know, that's such a rarity. And even Ric Flair did the honors on his way out.
Like,
and
no,
he was arguably, in his entire career, bigger than John Cena.
Tim, logically, what? I get it. Logically, it made sense, but for the moment, you wanted to see him win. It was a disappointing moment last night when he lost.
No, I get it. And for anybody and everybody who actually held on to a shred of thinking that he was going to win, I can't remember if I said Cena or Gunther. I think I picked Cena, even though
I picked Cena.
Yeah, okay. I knew he wasn't going to win.
No, but it was in that moment.
Let me finish.
No, let me finish.
I'm circling around back here.
You listen to that crowd last night. You pay all that money because it's the most expensive ticket wrestling has ever had. You wanted to see the good guy win. And that's why they were disappointed. That's why they were angry. That's why I was disappointed. I wasn't angry, but I was disappointed in the finish because you wanted to see him have that moment.
You know what I was disappointed in?
What?
The fact that Gunther was his opponent. Now, that might be really weird coming from me because you know how big of a mark I am for Gunther, right?
But he played part well. He was the only heel in the room that you could use to get actual heat last night.
No, you're absolutely 100% correct. Gunther now has a great big huge bullseye on his back. And the fact that they gave it to him and let him get the rub, if you will, tells me that they better have sky high plans for Gunther. And in my opinion, they should, but that's just my opinion. But they better have sky high plans for Gunther. Otherwise, this is going to wind up being really bad for years to come, and he could get bum-rushed out of the WWE by the fans. That is a distinct possibility. Now, by my saying I was disappointed that it was Gunther that was the opponent, honestly, I would have loved to have seen the final match between him and Jay or him and LA Knight. LA Knight is doing – he's rocking the babyface side of the tweener, and Jey Uso is, you know, he's been hugely popular with the fans for a long, long time. If you had given one of them the honors instead of Gunther, you've got the ultimate goat babyface in this particular match against a guy that the fans aren't conditioned to hate and boo and all that other stuff.
I want to put either one of those in that position last night.
It would have been a lesser negative reaction by the fans. Now, what I'm saying is the way that this becomes an absolute success is pushing Gunther into the stratosphere in his WWE career. And from what we've seen, that is pretty close to the trajectory they have had for him. So,
okay. Let me ask you this, and then Brent can chime in on all of it.
Yep.
Okay, trajectory. Push him to the moon. What's the moon? What is it? What's that? What's 4 months from now? What's 6 months from now? Where's Gunther?
That's something I can't answer because I'm not the booker. I'm not the script writer. I'm not the guy who types up the promo sheets.
Because if you look at the booking of things, Monday Night Raw, who is it, Brent? Who's the guy?
CM Punk, currently.
And the other guy they're pushing? The top heel?
Bron Breakker.
Are you going to sacrifice Bron Breakker for Gunther then?
No.
Not yet. I'm not talking about 4 or 6 months down the road. I'm talking about what are they going to do with Gunther where he's going to be this time next year?
The thing you need to worry about, though, is 4 to 6 months because the fans' attention span is short. If you don't do something big with him initially, they're going to lose it. They're going to go, well, this was worthless, and you've just killed it.
Who's the hot baby face you put in the ring with Gunther? Come, even say 2 months from now.
That's an issue.
It's a big issue.
It is. It really is.
But LeMans brings you, put him at Rhodes. Okay, then, so you're sacrificing Drew. You're sacrificing Aleister Black for Gunther. Roman for Gunther? I don't think so.
You've already penciled in Cody Roman essentially for Mania from what we saw at Survivor Series.
You guys are gonna totally shit on what I've got buzzing through my brain right now.
Say it and we'll get Brent's opinion on the finish last night.
Gunther as of last night is the biggest heel in WWE, and that'll last for a couple of weeks until the Bron Breakker CM Punk feud intensifies.
Till the first of the year.
Yeah. Now, we have seen WWE work their asses off to turn people heel who are baby faces and sometimes not be successful. We have seen them turn baby heels into baby faces and work on others that and winds up not being successful. How do you successfully turn Gunther into a fan favorite?
Beat Brock Lesnar. That's how you do it. You beat Brock Lesnar. Now get the fans cheering. But that's SummerSlam. You got months for that.
You've got a while to play with it. And why does it have to be SummerSlam?
Because you retire Brock in Minnesota at SummerSlam.
Well, who says that it's going to be a retirement match?
John Cena.
The next one confirmed to retire that we know of is AJ Styles.
No, John, I'm legitimately saying John Cena said they're working on the creative for Brock in Minnesota to probably be his swan song. It's a John quote.
Listen, so few people know that it's it can be considered insider. Seriously, the regular casual fan knows that the next person officially known to plan his retirement will be AJ Styles, because they don't shut the fuck up about it on broadcasts. They don't mention Lesnar's denouement at all.
I mean, the casual fans on TikTok these days, and it's probably all over TikTok. The casual knows who watch wrestling, what Cena says. It's everywhere. People are a lot smarter these days. Hey, Brent, we've talked. What do you think?
So, Rock knows, and Lindsay heard all about this last night. As soon as the show went off the air, I jumped into the call and talked to them for a bit. I had no problem with the overall finish. I had a problem with the execution at the end, just like was talked about earlier. I think the fans would have been more in line, and I talked about this last week on this very show, if John had passed out.
He could have sold it better, and I was thinking about that all day today, actually, Brent.
It's not just about the selling of it. It's if you wanted to tell the story, it's the fact, and I know that this is what they're saying about the current, the way it actually played out, was John, in his heart, in his being, wanted to continue. The body gave out. And if he passes out, you sell that story of just, it was the end of the road. His body could not give any more in that situation after being in the sleeper for 5 minutes, after breaking out of it a few times, and then the anvil elbows to the head. And in my opinion, that's how you sell that part of the story. And I think if you had done that, the fans in the arena would still be shocked at the end of the match, but it wouldn't have been the bullshit chants, the you fucked ups, the, you know, all of that stuff that went with it. Because as Rock touched on last night, 3 minutes earlier, they're chanting, don't give up. And the biggest problem was you got exactly what they were chanting not to do. He tapped out.
I got a quote. Someone tweeted me, said, they made Mr. Never Give Up give up. What right. the fuck?
And I think, in my opinion, it's one of those things of, you know, yes, the sly smile, the light tap out that Tim touched on. Ultimately, this entire thing, and we'll, let's be real about this, this is John Cena's thumbprint on it. He would... Even though he is, yes, he's all about the business, he's going to make sure that he does the right thing. I think this is the way he wrote the end, because that little smile is him going, I've got nothing. Like, I'm done. This is it. And it was that. The execution of that, I just looked at and I was like, that's what didn't sit right with me. The fact he went out on his back, the fact all that other stuff kind of played out, again, no problem with it. In fact, I would say I much prefer that to the way something else happened with someone's retirement last year, because I think if you have him go out as that conquering champion, it's just kind of like, okay, cool. But I think you also have a big contingent of the fan base that goes, oh, he goes out, lol, Cena wins. Okay, nothing ever changed. And I get that, like, there's something poetic with that, but at the same time, it's, yeah, there's a little bit of a problem with that.
But sometimes, and this was my point last night, you just want that feel-good moment.
Oh, I get that, but we've talked about this on numerous occasions of, okay, you have those feel-good moments at WrestleMania with Kofi, and you have that feel-good moment at something else, and it's like, cool, that happened. Now what? And
I think John, say the same winning, thing about get, this one. And now what?
Well, oh no, absolutely. And we get to see what happens with Gunther moving forward. You, as we've all discussed, you have to have something in line for him. It cannot just be Gunther retired John Cena, and now he goes into Monday Night Raw to face, I don't know, Otis. It just.
It can't be R-Truth showing up on Monday because he just worked, because they're going to be there because they're taping two shows, and be like, I'm here to stand up for John Cena.
That'd be funny.
The only way that works is if Gunther just annihilates R-Truth. And I don't mean like, you know, oh, lol, he puts him down in 2 minutes. I mean, this is, he eviscerates him for 10, you know, like 7 minutes. It makes you uncomfortable to watch what he does to R-Truth. Because that's the thing that needs to, if you're going to do that kind of thing, it needs to be like, he's going to make a statement. And if he does it to R-Truth, it reiterates the point of, like, the ring is sacred, I took out your hero, and I'm not going to deal with this comedy shit. Pummel him down. You know, I not only killed John Cena, I'm going to take out every last remnant of him from this place. That's one thing I could see them do tomorrow to try and, I don't know, get fans to even more be emotional about this. But yeah, you need to figure out what you want to do in a big
shit out of Ron Truth.
What?
Piss him off even more by having him beat the shit out of Truth.
Not just, like I said, not just beat the shit out of him, but just...
I know what you mean. I was... That was
make him disappear for a bit.
Yeah, that's my implication.
Yeah. But that isn't your big follow-up. That is just what you do Monday. You do have to have the big storyline queued up. And honestly, Rock, I think you touched on it on Thursday. He needs to get off of Raw.
I said it last night. He has got to get off Raw. Because you can't keep him there.
Not with Punk, not with Breaker, not with the group that they have there. He needs...
Because he's second tier right now on Raw. And he's got to move away from it. Well, I don't know. Here's the sucky part about it. They're going on... These next 2 weeks are just going to be filler television.
Yep, they're going on holidays.
They're taping 2 episodes SmackDown on Raw tomorrow and then SmackDown on Raw on Friday. They ain't live for now, another two weeks after that.
Now, I'm going to propose something a little crazy in light of us saying they need to do something big with him. He needs to not be in the Rumble.
So he's your world... He's your champion challenger at the Rumble?
Maybe. But here's the thing. If you put him in the Rumble with what he just did, doesn't he need to win?
Yeah, he's not winning.
And that's the problem is if he's in the Rumble and he doesn't win, then it becomes, what the hell?
Say the same thing about putting him in a title match. If he doesn't win, what's the point? You can only retire John Cena once. You gotta capitalize on that momentum. But the problem is, with Gunther, you've done it all.
That is the big... That was my biggest thing of... The IC title needed to not be on the line in this match. I know you had talked about it. I know a lot of people had mentioned, like, oh, Cena should have kept the title going into this. Cool. Gunther wins the IC title. We've already seen him hold it for 666 days. The fact that he beat John Cena for it, okay.
But the point is, there would have been a
mid-card title.
But there would have been a direction.
There would have been a direction, but the biggest problem is what you just talked about. He would have been mid-card. He would have been stuck at a certain level.
Yeah.
At least with this, it gives you the opportunity, if you want to take him up. But as we discussed to start the show, doing that is going to give a statement about other people. And we already saw people were bitching and moaning about the fact that, L.A. Knight didn't get the shot at Cena. And, you know, the company wants to do something with him. Well, he's 40-something years old. He doesn't have time. And it's like, okay, but you're clamoring for you want LA Knight, and then when they don't immediately pull the trigger, you bitch and moan about the fact that they're wasting time.
Brant, he was buried on Monday. Who's LA Knight? They buried him.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying the internet fan base has this...
No, that's the internet fan base. He was buried for taking a squash on a car last night, on Monday. He was buried.
Oh, yeah, he's buried. Never mind the fact that he's now put in, like, the biggest feud that's going on Monday night.
Buried.
With the Vision. Tim talked about the internet fan base, and yeah, you sometimes are just too impatient with things. It's like, don't get me wrong, I loved the moment last night with Hendry. You know that. We're chatting, and he comes on, and I was like, oh shit, yes, they're doing this! I'm not gonna clamor for him to be in the main event scene. I know exactly what he is. The fact that he got the moment there speaks volumes, because he got 5 minutes... on the John Cena farewell show. That's about the best you can ask for.
And he got, like, the third biggest pop of the night.
Yeah, he got
Who did?
If you're Jew... Oh, go ahead.
No, who did? What's his name?
Joe Hendry.
No, if I say his name, he'll appear.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
Playing to the bit, eh?
Thank you. But yeah, like LeMans touched on, and as I said to Lindsay last night, the fact that this guy, Joe Hendry, and if you want to talk about someone who is grasping that brass fucking ring that people always talk about and clamor and go, you know, oh, that's what you need to do. He made a name for himself making up entrance themes in the UK. That was his whole shtick. He came over, he grinded his ass over at TNA twice, and then was able to get fans to endear themselves so much, he was able to create a theme song that charted on iTunes. let's just let that sink in. Not just on, like, oh, a sports playlist or whatever. He got it to chart on regular iTunes, his entrance theme. And then this year was featured at WrestleMania. Yes, you could say it was a easy spot, but you know what? Anyone in that fucking locker room would take that spot in an instant if they were given that opportunity.
You know that song charted on Spotify, right?
Oh, Spotify, Apple Music, everything. It is a fucking meme across the internet.
Arguably, Spotify is bigger than iTunes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Millions of Android users don't have iTunes.
Apple Music is still bigger.
But they have Spotify.
But we'll put a pin in that part. But the idea that, like, he got featured on WrestleMania working with Randy Orton for 5 minutes. And then on John Cena's retirement show, got 5 minutes to work with R-Truth and The Miz. Sure, it's a comedy spot. Sure, it's a passing of the torch from R-Truth to Joe Hendry to be the comedy guy. But last I checked, R-Truth made a freaking career out of being the comedy spot on WWE programming for, what, 20 years, Rock?
Yeah.
Give or take off and on.
So, if that's the case, Joe Hendry, as long as you don't screw up, enjoy the paycheck, because you probably are going to be around for a while.
WWE's enhancement talent.
I mean, X-Pac and Barry Horowitz made a really good career out of that part.
Just move him over to Raw full-time already.
He's already, or he basically has been moved up to the main roster, I think. Or at least fully into WWE now.
He's officially a WWE contracted superstar for NXT right now.
There we go.
Anyway, so now that we bitched about the finish, what'd you think about the match itself?
That was good.
This is going to sound bad, but it was your typical good John Cena match.
I will say this. The match was good to me because of the fact that Gunther understood his role in that match and played it to a T.
The guy is one of the smartest people in any locker room today.
The beatdown he was giving Cena and the repeated, like, the simple check into the ref, ask him if he's giving, you know, I'm going to make him quit. You ask him right now. And when it didn't happen, cool. I'm going to hit you with a powerbomb, and I'm going to hit you with four clotheslines in a row. And every time, it wasn't the, like, put the microphone down, but it's keeping the story going of, like, yeah, I'm going to break him. And you had the moments where, like, Cena was pulling out the big moves. And I do have to say, I liked the one point where he goes to give that five-knuckle shuffle, and he's like, this is it! This is the last time I'm doing this, y'all! After hitting it three times, or two times previously in the match. But it was like, he's setting up the thing of the fact of, like, look, I'm not going to keep pulling this out. This is the moment. If you're going to cheer, get that pop in.
Yeah.
I do have to say, I did appreciate the one moment, though, where Cena's going to give the avalanche AA. And before Gunther gets up on his shoulders, I think you could see Gunther going like, we're doing this right? Okay. Because he has to prep himself for being up on Cena's shoulders. You could just see him talk for a second of like, okay, so we're going to do this spot? All right, hang on. I got to mentally prepare myself. Why is Tim there? I mean, that's the ultimate trust exercise. You want to stand up on the second rope and have me completely in your care? All right. I know I'm not a svelte person. Let's go. But overall, the story was good. I know LeMans touched on this in the chat after the match. The stuff that happened, I think it was good enough to honor Cena in the moment, but I think Cena also recognized, like, he didn't want the over-the-top thing of, like, okay, I'm going to give the speech, and we're going to do this, and that it was simply, like, he was basically ready to leave the ring, and Cody and Punk were like, no, you gotta do the corners thing. You gotta appeal to the crowd, come on. And it's like, all right, fine, I'll do the belts thing. you take this. All right, I'm out now. But they did get John to break during the video.
With Vince. So, you know.
Archival Vince. Archival Vince.
Vince. He was nowhere near the building. Was he celebrating with Cena last night? Who knows? But he wasn't in the building. But besides Cena's final match, there were other things on this show that we should touch on just a little bit. Including the opener of Cody and Oba.
I can't wait for Oba to come up to the main roster.
Oba put in a good showing. I'll give him that. That was one thing I wanted from this match.
I don't generally get much opportunity to catch NXT just because of my schedule and the way shit works in my life. At least if he's on the main roster, I'd be able to see him more often. I have always liked what I've seen with this dude. And he's just, damn, he's a monster.
Yeah, he's the ruler. And as much as we got what I wanted to out of Oba Femi, we also got the thing I absolutely did not want out of the finish.
The thing I think I called that, didn't I?
No, you didn't. No? Well, you called part of it. It wasn't a no contest.
Who won?
Cody.
Huh?
Drew attacked Cody.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Therefore, it is not a no contest. It is a disqualification.
So Cody wins. Yeah, okay. Having a blonde moment.
Technically, if you go by this, what WWE.com has, they call it a no contest.
WWE called it a no contest.
I just looked it up.
Well, then I did call it.
Waka waka waka. That's what their official result is. It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't, because he did not lay a hand on Femi. Femi attacked him later, but there was nothing where Drew laid a hand on him, so therefore...
Technically, it should be Cody as the winner, but I think they want to write it story-wise where, you know, nothing happened.
Yeah, they don't want to, even if it's an exhibition match and everything, they don't want to hang a loss on Oba Femi, technically, in his first main roster match, even though it doesn't fucking matter. If that's the case, if you weren't going to have that finish, what was the case of having the match? I get, okay, you advance the Drew angle. There's other ways of doing that. If you're going to have them fight, have something come out of it, opposed to, okay, Drew runs in, he beats up Cody, and then Femi gets one shot in on him, and then him and Cody raise each other's arms. Because that, cool, you get one photo, but it doesn't matter worth a shit.
Wouldn't you like to see that match turn into a three-way?
No.
No.
If anything, I want to see Oba Femi destroy Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a bigger statement. And I think especially, but also, as we just touched on, I don't know if you can bring Oba Femi up right now because he would just get lost. As big as he is.
It's too early.
And I'll put this, I've pitched in one match for SummerSlam. This is your SummerSlam main event, Cody and Oba. Since you got two nights.
Yeah.
Oba's your night after Mania call up. Cody Oba is SummerSlam.
I would have no problem with that because you spend
3 months.
Okay, so Mania is April?
April, and SummerSlam's late July, early August, whatever.
July. So yeah, you have 3 to 4 months to let Oba Femi run rampant through the roster to build himself up.
And the ruler of the ring becomes King of the Ring and gets his title.
See that one coming.
King of the Ring has been used to set up your SummerSlam challengers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he becomes the king. He takes down Cody, and you have your new youth movement. And besides, at that point, Cody's going to need to cool off anyway.
The man's title.
Absolutely. It needs to be for the title. He needs to take Cody down. That sets Oba Femi up as the next big thing.
At this point, why not, LeMond? Why not?
I was just about to say that.
It would be a full year.
Which he did the first time.
Yeah. Well, like they haven't done it before. Why? You want Roman as your champ again?
Because that's probably your Mania match.
I don't care what anybody says. Roman lost that title fair and square to Kevin Owens.
Which time?
Back in 2020.
Technically, I think it was 2021. If it was the No Man Standing, it's what you're talking about. Or the Last Man Standing.
Wasn't that during the COVID era?
Yes, at the Thunderdome Rumble 2021.
Okay, 2021.
Mm-hmm. Also on this show, AJ Styles, Dragon Lee against Javon Evans and Leon Slater.
They made Javon and Leon look good, but they had help from Javon and Leon.
So they made themselves look good?
Yeah.
It was a team effort, my man.
Were themselves, according to you.
Hope AJ's doing all right.
He's slowing down. That was not good. You could. That's one of the things why he wants to retire. You can see he's kind of slows down a little.
Lindsay and I talked about this last night, and it was one of those things of like I looked it up. He is 48 currently.
Yep.
And AJ has been smart in a couple of different ways. Number one, he has been smart with his money. From what I've gathered, he's got a decent house. He's got enough for his kids. He's got four of them. So there's going to be a lot of money involved.
He's set.
Yeah, he's set. But he also he's got a plan for what he's going to do after, like be a producer or something. Still help out, but save his body. Bailey's on that same track. I think she's looking at what the next level is for her. And kind of how to keep things going moving forward. But AJ is smart because he's recognizing the fact of he doesn't want to be that person who's 50, 55, having to rely on wrestling or needing that spotlight from wrestling to keep himself going. Instead, he's like, I can still be involved, but I can do different things. Same kind of thing with Adam Pearce, who is basically the same age as AJ Styles, which kind of surprised me. But Pierce created himself, you know, on the independent scene, got himself a good job with WWE where he can be the GM and have his role as director of live events and make good money and yet doesn't have to do anything that's physically taxing on him as opposed to, well, I need to go work the con circuit. I need to go get in the ring because I need that paycheck.
Yeah.
So Styles is smart in terms of, like, I know where I'm at now. I see that, and I think that it also helps to have people like Shawn, Taker, other people there who have since transitioned, and now maybe you're like, okay, there is a pathway. Or, like, they're talking to him like, all right, maybe it's time to start thinking about other things.
Well, a lot of people forget that AJ's been around for, like, 23, 24 years.
Yeah. He's 25. He started in 2000 with it. WCW.
It's kind of like that LeBron James. He started really young and he's been around forever, so you kind of forget.
He had a cup of coffee with WCW because they got bought by WWE. WWE thought that he was too Southern. He had a little bit of a hiatus before he became the franchise for TNA.
And then he went to Japan, and from then on, you know, the rest is history. He showed up at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, there's another thing WWE pissed me off at was AJ's debut at the Rumble. That was something else I got screwed up, fucked up.
Yeah.
They focus on Roman when AJ's music is playing, and the TV crowd didn't see the I Am Phenomenal come across the screen.
But it was the match that we saw last night was a good feature for the two young guys who have, you know, and... As someone brought up, it's really weird that on John Cena's farewell show, we had a TNA champion.
Yep, because TNA debuted.
If you'd said that 5 years ago, I don't know if we would have agreed with that, or we would have been like, okay, yeah, sure. This night.
It did fit on this night, but when did John Cena debut? What year? What month?
2002.
What month? That's what I'm legitimately asking. It's right around when...
John Cena debut WWE June 27th, 2002.
So, June 27th. So that's 8 days after the debut of TNA Wrestling. Or what was NWA TNA? 8 days after their.
June 19th, 2002.
Yep.
So, 8 days, yep.
Yeah.
A week and a day.
Or a Beatles song.
But yeah, okay. I mean, they're kind of synonymous, like you said.
Yeah, they pretty much are. Wild. And debuted in birthday. Nice.
And to be fair, I mean, John Cena and AJ Styles being featured on the same show, when you look back and they've both undergone fairly sizable differences from their debut to where they are now. Kind of fitting as well.
Kind of fitting. And then the other thing on the show was Bayley and Sol Ruka.
That was just a fun match between those two.
Sol Ruka is not going to be over on the main roster, let me tell you. It's a shame.
What's that smell?
Her printing money.
I smell sarcasm.
When her and Bailey were doing the chain at the beginning, and she's doing the like flip over hand walk or handstand, and you know is able to pull out the soul snatcher and make it look flawless. It's just like, yeah, Yeah, when she gets that call to come up in probably April with Oba.
Insane.
She's going to be fine.
As long as they don't tell her or coach her to tone it down.
I think with
They've Paul, been known to do that.
But here's the thing. I think that was the previous regime. I think with someone like Sol, because, I mean, Penta hasn't been told to tone down. I think he just recognizes that there's a different style from TNA to AE, or from AEW and TNA to WWE. And he's able to work the WWE style, but still kind of keep his identity. I
Sin Cara, he's not.
Right. I think for Sol, she's come up in the system. She's been trained. Yeah. And so I don't think they're going to go, all right, everything we taught you in TNA, you're going to need to completely change that. I think it'll be like, we just need to make sure the angles are right, but you do you.
Yeah. Now, here's the question. How long is it going to be before she has to find a different finisher? And I'm not talking about because she was told to find a different finisher, but because of, on a scale of 1 to 10 level of difficulty, that thing's like an 8.5.
I think as long as she stays healthy,
yeah,
she's going to keep that finisher. The second that she loses ability in terms of, like, the second she starts to Rey Mysterio herself, then she'll need to find something else. But I think they'll come up with something innovative for her still.
Yeah, because she's already gone through once with the knee.
Even if storyline, it's still...
No, she had knee surgery once.
Oh, yeah, early. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Do they bring up Zarya and have them debut as a tag team?
No.
If they were coming up today, yes. I don't know what's 4 months from now.
I think the Zarya Sol split is going to hit on NXT. You have the bit where Sol will put Zarya over on her way out. Zarya will become a monster heel on NXT to build her up. Sol will move on and start to get that main roster push. And then if you want to do anything, when you debut Zarya, you touch on the feud like you did Sammy and Kevin. And that's where you bring in like the NXT history. I don't think you bring them up to do the break, because that's ultimately what's going to happen with them. And Zarya, in my opinion, isn't ready for the main roster because she hasn't been given enough on NXT. Because, unfortunately, she came in with the international talent glut, and no disrespect to her, she was 3 or 4 on the list.
Yeah, put the team up in NXT and let Zarya climb the ranks as the big heel.
And she's already behind Blake Monroe and Jordan. Now with the class still there, Blake, Jordan, in terms of call-ups. So
it's weird to say she's not at the level of JC Jane right now.
No, but JC worked her ass off to get there.
Right, but that JC had earned her spot, and JC's going to get that call-up soon. I think we all see that. It's just a matter of, like, right now, if I look at NXT, I look at Zarya and I look at JC Jane, I'm like, that's not the same level.
You bring her up with Elise Fallon Henley, and you put them on SmackDown to start in April.
Yeah, I think JC needs Fallon. I don't think there's anything left for Fallon to do in NXT. As much as some people will go, but she never got the NXT title. She doesn't need it.
You don't need it. Every big accomplishment doesn't need to happen in NXT.
Yeah, let's put it this way: Alexa Bliss never won the NXT Women's Championship. I think she did fine for herself.
She did fine for herself. But JC needs someone to play off of. That's how her gimmick works.
Yeah, she needs to be in the Mean Girls. She cannot... Regina George needs the other plastics. You cannot have her just be Regina George on her own.
Exactly. All right, Brent. It was a small crowd this time because I didn't have time Saturday to get the sheet out to people. So what do we got?
All right, so we had 7 entries into our Pick'em contest. We also had one person on this grouping/call. Who did not make all the full picks. So, in 7th place, going 2-1, Tim.
Well, which one did I miss?
You didn't make the tag team pick.
And technically, isn't he 2-0-1? It's like...
No, I counted the no contest as a win.
Oh, you counted as a... No, it wouldn't be a win.
Well, he picked no contest, so I gave him the correct pick. Everyone else got it wrong because we picked Femi.
Okay.
So I gave him that as a correct pick. So he's 2-1.
How did I not pick the tag match? I thought for sure
because it wasn't announced until
it didn't come out
after
Monday.
Friday, and you didn't put anything in the chats.
I didn't see anything in the chats.
As one just mentioned, hi. I didn't have time to ask for people and picks for Saturday.
So, Tim went 2-1. Tied for fourth place is myself, Casey, and Rock all going 2-2, because we actually made all the picks. And then in first place, we have Lindsay, who tied with the eight ball in the wheel, going 3-1. Hashtag AEW expert.
There you go.
Okay, I would have been 3-1.
But you weren't.
You didn't say
nobody
it.
Nobody let me know.
You know, again. Tim, there's something called personal accountability. Yeah.
No, there is not. Don't you dare. It's always somebody else's fault, damn it. Blame Triple H. He's the one who booked it.
That will do it for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, we're back for the Raw post show. When Raw ends, we'll talk about it. Usually around 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, The Rack is back live. We're doing some sort of Cena tier list ranking thing. We'll talk about it Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. CB Radio is back live this Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And if there's something to talk about, we'll be live next Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. That Wild Talk Radio, it's Facebook.com says Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Tim?
I'm on the X Twitter, X Thinga Machine. Follow me at Flames Forums because I post every day. And you need to know what I'm posting at Flames Forums.
Brian?
You can find me on various social medias, X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. One of those will work, and you'll find my opinion/ramblings.
Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen to subscribe for free. You can use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite App Shop or Epic Games Store. When you buy Kim Kardashian, when you buy eventually Harry Potter, when you buy 6-7,
I hate you,
and more, hashtag Epic Partner. Send us home, Tim.
Well, that's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed Saturday night's main event. Hope you enjoyed our review show. Stay tuned to all the programming coming up this week. And we might possibly talk in next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. That being said, have yourselves a wonderful week. Now, go finish your homework and get to bed. School starts early tomorrow. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. WildTalkRadio.com.